to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
When times become very tough, it is very easy to forget that God is concerned with your welfare. When you're faced with tough times and tough situations, it is very easy to cry out and imagine that God does not care, but that is not true. God is your anchor, and today we want to look at God's presence is your anchor in tough times. God remains an anchor in tough times. I would like us to begin today by reading a scripture from the book of Exodus chapter 33, verse 15 and verse 16. This is going to be a springboard that we shall touch on very, very briefly and then use it for the lessons that are going to follow. Exodus chapter 33, verse 15 and 16. Here is what it says. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that and I thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. God's presence is your anchor in tough times. In 1446 BC, the nations of the world witnessed an event that actually shook the world. And not only did this event shake the world, but it left men with the fear and the awe of God. Millions of people who had been held captive over a period of 400 years, millions of people who had been subjected to hard labor, to a life of slavery, were set free. And so in 1446 BC, together, they left their country of bondage and they became a new nation. As they moved from their country of bondage, they took all their possessions, and to the amazement of everybody, they set off on foot. Try and picture what was happening. That must have been a picture or something to really behold. Can you imagine millions of people? They are carrying all their herds of animals. Together they have their carriages. Even their domestic fowls are following them. Think of the donkeys. Think of the chicken. Think of the hens. Think of the goats. Think of the sheep. Everything that they had, together they are marching one by one, one by one. Millions of people leaving a land of bondage and they are heading to a very new destination. So as you imagine those millions of people, lots of questions come to my mind, and anybody who could be thinking about it, questions will come to your mind too. How on earth were they going to reach their destination? And how long was it going to take them? What would they eat in the desert? How were they going to move and cross the wilderness that was stretching far before their own eyes? And what were they going to do in the night? How are they going to survive? What about the aged? What about the very young? What about those who are with child? And you know, according to the records, these millions of people did not have many leaders. Who are we talking about here? We are talking about the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 3, Yahweh, the great I am, as he had revealed himself, had appeared to Moses. Moses was on the backside of the mountain, and through very unique and special encounters, God surfaced right there. The man, Moses, had conversed, I can say he had transversed and conversed the back of that mountain. He knew it also, just like the back of his own hand. But on this particular day, he was very puzzled at the appearing, at the appearance. You see, the angel of God appeared to him in a flame. It was a flame of fire that was right there in the midst of the bushes that he was accustomed to seeing, but never seen anything like that before. So to him, it was a very strange sight. Why was it strange? Very strange sight, of course, there was a flame in the bush, but above just the flame being in the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. So Moses turned around to see that great sight. And when he turned, the Bible records that that is when God called him right from the midst of the burning bush. As Moses responded and looked at what was happening, little did he know the kind of transformation and the kind of task that lay ahead of him. He did not know also that God was very committed to a task, and that was a task to which he was going to show the world who he was. Moses was only being brought into the situations that God was working, where God would be known that he was sovereign. God was going to make himself known that he was the Almighty God. This same God, the great I am, Yahweh, he had spoken to Abraham many years before. He had told him, I am the God of thy father. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Isaac. He is the God of Jacob. So God revealed himself, and then he proceeded to disclose plans that he had for Moses concerning his children who were in bondage. Let us look at that encounter and read. Let us see what God told Moses during that encounter. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. In today's lesson, we are mainly doing a lot of laying down of ground. We are laying the matrix. So it's like a springboard for us to move on to some other lessons that are going to come. So bear with us. Let us move systematically and move on as we lay this ground. So Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Here is what the Bible says. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt. I want us to pause right there. Remember, we are looking at God's presence being your anchor in tough times. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your situations as we go through this passage. I believe there are people here, there are people who are listening today who need to listen and need to hear what the Lord has to say today through this passage. So let us read that again. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God had seen the affliction of his children in Egypt. Key things that I would like you to look at that, to get from this passage. God had seen the affliction of his children in Egypt. Not only had God seen the affliction of his children who were suffering in Egypt, but God was touched by the feelings of their infirmities. This can be confirmed as you read those exact words from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. God is touched by the feelings of your infirmity, just as he was touched by his children who were suffering in their land of bondage by then. But he was not just touched by the feelings of their infirmities, meaning he was not just affected by what was affecting their children, his own children. God went on to tell Moses that he was touched by their sorrow. And three, he was not just touched by their sorrow, but God could not stay silent in heaven looking at his children going through all the suffering, going through all the torture. Look at what he did. He had come down to set them free with his mighty outstretched hand. God was coming down and he was not going to leave his children in bondage again. Instead, he was going to change their circumstances for the rest of their lives. God is an anchor. God's presence is an anchor in tough times. There is nothing that will do you good, or there is nothing that will help you better than the presence of God when you are faced with difficult situations. Man will promise you help. Man may even step in and help you to some extent. But when God comes down, when God sees your affliction, when God is touched by what affects you, when God is moved by your own sorrow, and when God decides to come down and change your circumstances, nothing is going to compare. When times are tough, or when days get very difficult, very long, and very dreary, it is very easy to forget that God is concerned about you. It is very easy to think that God does not care about your welfare. The contrary is also true. Many times when our lives are flowering, when we are filled with blessings, when we are filled with bounty, it is also very easy to forget God. Those are the times when we easily think to ourselves that we had the power to make ourselves successful. We had the knowledge and the know-how to make ourselves successful. Many times we look at what we have done and we think, yes, it is my hard work that made me this prosperous. It is because I was very diligent. It is because I was a good planner, or I was very good at scheming. But you know, that is not true. It is not true. It is God who gives you power to get wealth. It is God who gives knowledge. It is God who gives wisdom. It is God who gives you understanding. It is God who gives you health to make that wealth. It is him who gives you life to breathe, to walk, to move, to do. Otherwise, without him, there is nothing that you're going to accomplish. I'm reminded of the words that Abraham Lincoln wrote way back in 1863. Way back in 1863, as he looked at this nation, he had things to say that we can relate to in this very present century. This is what he said. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved this many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It is easy to lose your mind, to lose focus of who God is in difficult times and even in times of prosperity. But God stood with his word during that time when the children of Israel were to move from their land of bondage into the land of promise. God had purposed to help his children, and he did exactly that. So God used Moses as an instrument through whom he was going to save his people. God shaped Moses in very extraordinary ways. In fact, for over 40 years, God worked in very, very different ways to shape his servant. Right from the beginning, God had saved Moses. Right from what I call the lion's mouth, he had saved Moses from Pharaoh's verdict that every male child in Egypt had to die. But he preserved and he rescued the baby Moses. He rescued him right there from dying in the River Nile. So God sent Moses right into Pharaoh's courts. And he gave him, in fact, impeccable protection and the very best education there was in the world at that time, in the ancient world. You know, you look at the sovereignty of God and you cannot fail to marvel that for sure he is God. He is mighty. Who in his own right mind would take a baby right into the hands of those who are looking and seeking to kill him? But God knew that the best person to protect baby Moses was the exact same man who was destined to kill the baby. And then God decided, you know what? You're not just going to protect the baby at your own expense. You're also going to train him in matters of education, in the best skills needed for me to do my job tomorrow. And then God moved on in his training. So he used Moses and he used Aaron, Moses' brother, to perform wonders in Egypt. They displayed the power of God. We know the story. We shall not go into the details of it. That is not the focus of our message today. But God sent very many plagues to the land of Egypt as he dwelt very, very severely with Pharaoh. But Pharaoh did not hearken immediately. Pharaoh, characteristic of who he was, he was very stubborn and he would not release the children of Israel. But when God finally destroyed the firstborns of all the Egyptians and separated them and spared the children of Israel, Pharaoh yielded. If you're interested in that story for now, you can look at Exodus chapter 4. You can also move on to chapter 7, to chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, 11, 12, 13. That book is full of the accounts of what God did. And you know, at the end of the plagues that God sent, and after the firstborns of Pharaoh, of the children of Israel had been destroyed, Israel was free at last. And after that freedom, God took charge of his very children. He protected them and he provided for them. When they got thirsty, God gave them water to drink. We have already said that this was a very enormous group of people. They had lots of animals, but they traveled together in the wilderness. Why? God came down and hovered round and about them. Look at how the Bible describes it in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 to 22. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. So God protected them. He was establishing that God is an anchor. His presence is our anchor in tough times, be it in the wilderness or be it in the face of the enemy. When his presence is round about you, then you have an anchor. You are protected. The journey did not end over there, or it didn't stop right there. To get to the promised land, the children of Israel also had to face other obstacles. For example, they had to face the Red Sea. And when they got to the Red Sea, oh, Pharaoh was angry. He realized, or he came to his senses and realized that he had freed his slaves. And at that point, out of anger, out of regret, he decided to pursue the multitudes. And that time, God had told the children of Israel to camp by the Red Sea. And this was by God's design. Let me pause here to say, God has his own way of protecting you and protecting me. Sometimes what looks like God has thrust us before our own enemies is the safest guard that he has provided for us. When the children of Israel were camped by the Red Sea, you look at the area. There was a mountain on one side, a mountain, another mountain on the other side, and in between was the sea. So Israel had literally no place to run to. They either had to hid themselves in the mountains or they had to drown in the Red Sea. But that was by God's design. He knew that he was driving and enticing the enemy right in the right place where he was going to get the victory. So Pharaoh took 600 of his best chariots, and all the chariots of those were the best chariots of Egypt. And then he took his best captains also and put each one of them over the chariots. And so in hot pursuit, Pharaoh charged so fiercely, just heading for the kill. But little did he know that this was again another event that was going to get God great victory. It was going to get God great honor. I'm not sure where you are today, but my heart wants to ask you, are you faced with very tough times? Trust God. Are you struggling today? Are you losing the will to stand? Are you losing the will to fight on? Are you losing the will to live? Do you feel that God has forsaken you? Do you feel that God does not care? Or do you feel like nobody really understands what you're going through? I would like to end by reading the words that we read together in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. We shall not read the entire portion for because of time. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large and unto a land flowing with milk and honey. God has seen your affliction. God is touched by the feelings of your infirmity. God is moved by your own sorrow. And God is here to help you. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you don't sit in heaven looking at your children on earth desperate as they struggle and go through the challenges of life. Just as you have spoken these words to us today, Lord, may you come and minister to your people. Lord, you who has seen the sorrow, you who is touched by the situations that surround your children, you who is moved by our sorrows here, speak to us. May we feel your presence again. May we feel your arms of grace again. May you give us strength for another day. May your word find root. May your word bring fruit in the lives of your children. Father, we love you, we exalt you. For we have prayed this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.